Radhi Radhi. Is it?
Ye Anila Prima Dana. This is a translation by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Out of his vast compassion, Mahaprabhu, with his treasure of divine love, Prima Dana. Out of his vast compassion, Advaita Acharya brought Mahaprabhu and his treasure of divine love to this world by calling Mahaprabhu with love and affection. Where has that Advaita Acharya Thakur gone? It's told that Advaita Acharya was shouting so loudly that the Singhasana of Narayan was shaking, bouncing all over the room. Because Advaita Acharya wasn't calling for Gauranga. He was calling Narayan, Narayan. Nada, Nada. Because who was Advaita Acharya? Mahavishnu. Appearing as Advaita Acharya. So he's saying, Narayan, these are your jivas. Come and save them. They're hopelessly fallen. So when Gauranga came with his divine treasure house of love, it was like a tree full of fruits. And he was the gardener. And he had this beautiful tree full of mangoes. Ripened mangoes of Krishna Prem, Radha Govinda Prem, Yuga Prem. He said, I am only one person. How many fruits can I distribute? I need so many people to help me distribute the fruits of love of God. Radha Govinda Prema, Radha Krishna Prema. So then he called down, Gauranga called down his assistants to come. Gauranga is Radha and Krishna. So they called Alita and Vishaka and Rupa and Rati Manjari. And then, now Narottam is saying they came here with Gauranga and distributed all these fruits far and wide. And they wrote about them. And they did bhajan to show the living entities how to attain these fruits. But where are they now? Where are my Surup Dhamadhar and my Rupa Goswami? Where is my Sanatan Goswami? Where is Raghunath Das Goswami, the savior of the fallen conditioned souls? Patita Pavan, Raghunath Das Goswami. Where, and then it's, where is my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta Goswamis? Where is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami? Where is Gauranga, the king of dancers, Gaur Nakta Raj? Gone. Ekakale. At once, at one moment, at one portion of time, they disappeared. Where have they gone? I will shall smash my head against a stone or enter the fire. Oh, where shall I find such a great treasure house of wonderful qualities as Gauranga? Gauranga Guna Nidhi. Treasure house. Nidhi means treasure house. It means ocean. Unlimited reservoir. Good qualities of Gauranga's Guna Nidhi. Where is he gone? Gauranga and all his wonderful associates, they shared such extremely beautiful and sweet pastimes with each other. Bereft of their association, Narottam Das weeps. So 50 years after Gauranga moved on to another realm for his divine Prakat Leela to benedict all those poor souls like ourselves, 50 years later in East Bengal and Keturi, then Narottam held a festival, a Harinam Sankirtan festival, which devotees in the line of Narottam and Panchatattva and Lord Gauranga, Gaudiya Vaishnavas around the world are having Harinam Sankirtan festivals. At least, I don't know other missions, but I know about my guru's mission of ISKCON, and everywhere they're having 7-day kirtan festivals, 24 hours a day, Akanda kirtan in Africa and Europe and Russia. And it's quite amazing. Hundreds of devotees come from all over the area, and they make elaborate arrangements for them all to stay and to take prasadam. And there's no, maybe classes or not, I think it's only kirtan and japa. And it's all being financed by well-wishing devotees, like grihasthas, that make money and can support all the brahmacharis, sannyasis, and poor grihasthas. 500 people, 800, 1,000 people spend 7 days together chanting Hare Krishna in Russian Harinam Sankirtan Festival and the New Vrindavan Sankirtan Festival. And all the biggest leaders and ISKCON Sankirtan leaders, sannyasis, grihasthas, whoever they are, they all go there and contribute their expertise in their pure nam and other devotees also. So this is a big thing happening in ISKCON. It's one of the latest features over the last couple of years, and everyone's excited about it. And they attend one, then they go back to their temple and say, we have to organize one too. As like any big festival, requires lots of money and organization and manpower. And they do it. Africa. Where did Radha Madhav went to Nairobi or something? He went to Nairobi, and they got a bunch of rich Indians to finance the whole thing. And he came from India to attend the Harinam Sankirtan Festival, Akanda Kirtan, for 7 days in Africa. People came from London to attend the festival. People came from America. So they're flying all around the world to do yajna. Just like when the sages at Naimisharanya would hold a yajna, people only came from Delhi and Agra to the Naimisharanya. They came from all over the universe to attend the yajna, or the Rajasuya yajna in Delhi. There's only people on UP came. It was Krishna, everyone, demigods that came from all over the universe to attend Yudhisthira Maharaj's Rajasuya yajna. So the Rajasuya yajna is known not different than the Harinam Sankirtan yajna. Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishnam Sango Pangashta Parshadam Yajna Sankirtana Priya Yajanti Sumedha Shah. So therefore, there's a lot of stupid people in India, according to the Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam says, if you're not doing Harinam Yajna, you're stupid. Right? What's the line we just repeated? What line establishes that? Yajna Sankirtana Priya Yajanti Hi Sumedha. Sumed, Medha, means intelligence. And Su means if you have good intelligence, proper, pious, religious, and spiritually inspired intelligence being opened and expanded and deepened and broadened by hearing, reading shastras and hearing proper Harikatha, then you will engage in yajna. Swaha Homa Yajna. Swaha Satyanarayana Puja. Swaha, swaha, swaha. But that's not what the Bhagavatam says in this age. Harinam, yajna, yajna, sankirtana priya, yajanti, yajanti. They will do this. This is the yajna. When did they do the swaha? When was that to be done? That was the main activity to be done. Kali Yuga or when? What we understand, Satya Yuga was yoga, mysticism. Then Treta Yuga was yajna. And Dwapara was Archan, Marg, and big, big temples, etc. Rameshwaram, etc. So that's a long ago. How long ago, Treta Yuga? Treta Yuga started 1,300,000 years ago, yes? Started. So 1,300,000 years ago, that was what you were supposed to do. Swaha, swaha. Om Tat Vishnu Parampara Sada Swaha. Everyone's going with their sesame seeds and swaha, swaha, and then thinking they're getting tremendous result and everything good's going to happen and peace will come to my house and Satyanarayana Puja and this Puja and Ganesh Puja and that Puja and all kinds of Puja. India is the land of Puja, which means home and yajna. And it is, practically speaking, all nishphal. Bekar. No fruit and useless. It makes a lot of smoke, and it's a lot of fun, and it's very colorful, and it's a happening. And everybody sits together. Even the kids sit with the parents for a change. Maybe. And a big feast. The benefit of the whole thing is that you give Brahman Dan. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. You use buffalo ghee for the dravya, so is dosh. Wrong time, wrong this. The mantras are chanted incorrectly. And there's only one Brahman. There's supposed to be minimum five. It's like, point by point, it's like a nice joke. When Prabhupada was installing deities in Vrindavan, he had all these very pukka South Indian Brahmins just to establish the authenticity and legitimacy of the Krishna Balaram temple. At one point, he leaned over to Achyutananda Maharaj, who was one of the sannyasis, leading ISKCON sannyasis, who was a great kirtan leader, etc. ISKCON, he knew Bengali and all this, Achyutananda. And he said, actually, Achyutananda, the real installation is the Harinam Sankirtan. I'm just making this show to keep the peace in Vrindavan. And then Achyutananda Maharaj said, Jai Prabhupada. Kirtaniya Sadahari. So this is the real yagya, Kirtan yagya. So Harinam Sankirtan, this is the only yagya. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevaram. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gati Ranyata. So there's a few Agarwals, and there's a few Baniyas, and a few Rikshawalas, or let's say lots of Baniyas, and some Kshatriyas, and lots of Rikshawalas and Shudras. They've all understood that the only way to get perfection in Kali Yuga is chanting the holy name, alone and in Harinam Sankirtan. By the standard and pramana of Srimad Bhagavatam, these Shudras and Malechas and Yavanas and Antyajas that are far from the Vedic culture or the Vedic Varnashram, they are the most intelligent human beings on the planet on the basis of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Medha. He's a Shudra. He's a Malecha. He's a Yavana, converted to Hinduism, or inclined at least. And he sits down for 7 days and chants Harinam Sankirtan Yagya. He performs a 7-day Yagya. Like Rajasuya Yagya was 7 days or something. It took 6 months. No, it took 5 years to prepare. 5 years to prepare the Yagyashala. Elaborate preparation. And guests and the facilities and all these things. And then 7 days. And then, so people do these 1 hour pujas, homas, and nothing. So imagine how much these people are intelligent. Sumedasha, yagya sankirtana prayer yajantihi sumedasha. Sumeda. I'm Brahmin Janam. You're a fool. You're stupid. You don't even understand the one verse from the Bhagavatam. Why are you wasting your time? Swaha. He said, listen, I know that verse in the Bhagavatam. At home, I chant Harinam Sankirtan. I have to make money. Swaha. Aha. So this is the thing. They're feeling such separation, they'll dash their head in stone. We read that. You finished the song? All of them shared extremely beautiful, sweet pastimes. We read that? So somehow we went there, Harinam Sankirtan. But back to the separation mood. So how I started on the point, did Narottam see Lord Garanga? The question is no. But those pure devotees were chanting Shudanam 50 years after his disappearance in East Bengal at Kateri village when there was a huge Harinam Sankirtan festival. The first international, because nation means desh. And India had many nations. The Rajput nation, the Bharatpur nation, these are all called nations, all these different. India was actually many different countries. That's why there's 700 regional languages. There's Utkal Desh, there's Kalinga Desh, and one guy beats up the other guy, becomes Utkal Kalinga Desh. Desh means country. Europe Videshi. So if you're from Utkal and you go to Kalinga, they'll say you're a Videshi. If you're from Mewar, it's kingdom, and you go to whatever, some other kingdom, then you're a Videshi. Means you're without your desh. So India was a so-called unified country, which is not really, but it was so many different countries. This is the history of India, which you may know, be a good idea. So when it says it was, what I'm saying was the first international Harinam Sankirtan festival organized by Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya and others, Janamata and her disciples. It's a fact. It was international because there's the Bangladesh, what do you call it, the East Bengal nation, they're all nations. There's a king and there's a country, right? He's the king of the country. Country means nation. So how many kings? So many kings. The Mewar kings, the Rajput kings, the Jat kings, and this king, the Gujarati kings, and all these different kinds, the Sindhi kings, the Punjabi kings. Yes? So they were all kings. They had their kingdoms. They called the Punjab state. State means nation, means desh. It's not something, confusing. So when he had international Sankirtan festival, they came from all different countries. Different parts of India, which was different countries. Then it became a republic. But one country would fight another country. The king of one country, that's what it meant. King Orissa attacked the Utkal, he attacked the Kalinga kingdom, and like this. Then he annexes it and becomes my kingdom. One becomes two. America conquers Hawaii and steals it from the Japs and says it's now America. It was owned by the Japanese. It was a country, it was a whole island, several islands. So now it's ours. If you want it back, try and get it. Now, Narottam, of course, during that Shudanam Harinam Sankirtan festival, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda came and danced there because they told that. Chaitanya Bhagavat, oh, Vrindavan Das Thakur, you should declare it boldly that I will appear in some different places eternally. I will appear wherever whatever Shachimata cooks an offering for, of course, our Thakurji Narayan, but then our idea is to feed me Mahaprasadam. Wherever my mother cooks, I will come there. If I'm in Puri and she's in Mayapur, I will come there and take her offerings and she'll see me eating from her hand. That's one place I'll appear. And another place I'll appear, always in the association of my Antaranga Bhaktas eternally, is in Srivas Angam, in the Pradosh Kirtans. Pradosh Kal, Shayan Kal, Pradosh Kal. Kiva Jayo, Jayo Kora Chandi. Aroti kashoba janavitatavane, like this. On the banks of the Janava, on Ganga, then I will appear there at Shiva Sangam. And the third place I'll appear is
Raghavan.
There's four places actually.
Four places.
Yeah, that's one also. The third place I'll appear is, in other words, the basic idea, two out of four places I like to eat. And two out of four places I like to dance. Right? Two places I dance, two places I eat. Sachimata cooks, I eat. Damayanti, the sister of Raghava Pandit and Panihati, and Raghava, they cook, then I appear. She's writing this in her notes. Wherever somebody cooks for Krishna, he appears. So what I saw from this song, Dhyana Prima Donna, that Narottam, one would think, by the tenor of this song, that the author, like I write a song, where is my Srila Prabhupada gone? Where is my Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami gone? Where is my Bhakti Prakyan Keshamaraj gone? Where are all the great sannyasis that I met and I heard from and I got blessed by? Where are they gone? I may write a song like that, and the author is so-and-so Das. So if someone will hear that song or sing that song, they'll say, oh, actually, he's singing about great saints he met. He's singing about great souls that blessed him and taught him something, and he's feeling bilap and separation. That would be logical, yes? But now we just heard, that's why I brought into this historical point, Narottama is writing about personalities that he feels heartly connection with. And feels so much, he feels so much attached to these personalities, divine spiritual personalities, gurus, acharyas, well-wishers, that in this moment of feeling their separation and their non-presence in his life, he wants to commit suicide. So I can't live without them. It's like a wife might write a song about her husband. Oh, my husband was a treasure house of good qualities. And, you know, he was so kind and this, where is he gone? I smash my head, I'll jump in the fire. But, you know, this is not possible. I have to take care of the kids. Or she may write a song like that, you see? Because of her intense attachment to her beloved. That would be a logical thing, so much intense attachment. So he wants to smash his head on a rock and burn himself up. Because where are they? It's a very interesting point. How can you be so attached to, imagine, like sometimes I ask a question, can you love someone you've never seen? The answer is no. Can you become attached to someone you never met? No. Can you die for somebody you never met? No. This is logic. It's experience. It's real. But he's ready to die and kill himself for someone he never met, never saw face to face, never spoke to. What does this mean? How does he feel like this? He really feels like this. It's not imagination. It's not poetic license. Some stretch of the imagination. So when you sing a song like that, so you think, what? Who is writing this? Who is he writing it about? What feelings are we revealing? And what's going on here? And what does this mean to me? And let me think about this. We memorize a song. We know the meanings. We sing a blindfold. We don't know anything what we sang. We don't know the depth of it and the intricacies of it and how much teaching is here for us in one bhajan. And how many rasas and feelings and emotions and levels and waves of bhakti are crashing, rising and crashing through this one bhajan that we can't even catch one wave and ride it to a bit of realization. It's just simply words and a good melody, a good raga, nice harmonium, good voice. And I feel separation. Okay, bye. Where's the prasadam? Yeah, we sing this song, then we have a Tirubhav feast, Tirubhav Utsav. So let's go back. He's missing people he never met, missing people he never talked to. He's so much attached to them and so much missing them and loving them, he wants to kill himself. So that happens. People go crazy. They kill themselves. Oh, you don't want to marry me, and I hang myself, this, that. But that's their destiny, what to do. But I'm citing this unfortunate example to show the intensity of how much one can be attached to someone they really seen and met and loved and shared and cared with and shared with. They've shared together and cared together and cried together and lied together and ate together and became hopelessly attached, Ridhya Grantha Mahum, on a platform of mundane relationships. But that shows the intensity of relationship. Oh, without her, die. So, Mora Rupa Raghunath, Mora Raghunath, where, without my Rupa, without my Raghunath, did you, any of us ever meet Rupa Goswami? No. Did we, look at who's listening here. These are all the teachers of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. These are all the exemplars and acharyas of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. From the Sambandha of Raghunuga Bhakti inviting Sadhana, Sanatana Goswami, to the practice of Raghunuga Bhakti, Surup Damodar and Rupa Goswami. To the conclusion of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, Raghunath Das Goswami, and the explanation and the details and the whole thing, Krishna's Kaviraj. And they're all listed here. And the six Goswamis, actually, it says, what does it say? Six Goswamis, seven of them, because the eighth one is Lokanath. Krishna said, so first he says, he's singing like, the Vaidyacharya was my grandfather, he was my best friend. And he saw that I was suffering, everyone was suffering. He prayed for Narayan, Narayan, Nada, 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 Nada. Come, come. He's doing Shalagram Puja, Narayan Shalagram. Come, raising that, please, come, come. Save these people. These are your people. You're the origin of all the Satasta Jivas. You're glanced, you've glanced here. Look at it. I'm giving classes, I'm having Harinam, but 5-10 people are coming. Everyone's drinking and spending billions of dollars in weddings and Shasti Puja and Devi Puja and Durga Puja. Having Jagrans, Durga Jagrans, staying all night, bang, 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 this, that. Chanting hoo-ha, hee-ha, this, that. No one's chanting Nam Sankirtan, no one's chanting Vishnam Ram. Any kind of Nam is just mundane mantras to satisfy the demigods. The whole Mayapur Navadvipa has gone crazy. They're going to hell like modern day India. And only God can save them, not me. I'm only a little Narayan. You're the big Narayan, Maha Narayan. And I'm not posing as Narayan. This is Nara Leela. I'm simply a little Acharya, Advaita Acharya. But that's so I'm invoking Yudhika. So this job was so big that Narayan couldn't do it. He was calling for Narayan. Narayan said, look, sorry, Advaita Acharya, this job's too big for me. I had to call him the big boy, the Upper Upper Uparwala. Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna and his original Shakti, Bhagavan Sri Krishna Bhagavati Radha. Krishna alone can't do it. Radha alone can't do it. They both have to come. It's such a, people are so fallen, so degraded, so hopeless in a helpless condition. Usually Narayan can just wink and destroy the universe. He can just inhale and finish everything. And then Lakshmi says, oh, you just exhale. Look at the big mess. This universe you just exhale is a really bad job. Acha. Yeah, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look very good. Okay. Then he inhales. Okay, so now what? She said, look, think about it. Take your time. Think about it a little deeply and try to exhale and make it a little better one. So then, okay. You ready? Yeah. Then so many millions of universes come out. Lakshmi says, yeah, that's better. Then these look a little better. So that's the whole thing, is it not? The whole creation is simply one breath of Vishnu. With the creation, I mean, it's Srishti. What's creation? One earth planet, that's creation. One universe, that's creation. Billions of universes. Like how many molecules, let's ask the doctor here. How many molecules of hydrogen and nitrogen and oxygen are in one breath? How many atoms? Do a breath analyzer when you're a drunk. I don't know about hydrogen and oxygen, but I find a lot of Johnny Walker here. They analyze your breath of drunkards and they say, you're drunk. You know, they have these machines. You have in India? You don't have?
Yes.
They put this machine on and says, I can't tell you how many atoms of hydrogen are coming out of your mouth, but I can tell you've been drinking Kingfisher and all these stupid, poisons. So this is the thing. So much is contained in our breath, which is not very agreeable. Called bad breath. But in Vishnu, it's something different. So back to this situation here, that we have to learn a lesson from this, that this means that Narada, if he can become so attached to Lord Chaitanya and Advaita Acharya and all the members of the Panchatattva, and so attached to the immediate Acharyas and followers of Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis and Krishna's Kaviraj, that he's willing to sacrifice his love for them, sacrifice his body and annihilate his existence in their absence, and how we can have the same feeling as sadhakas. So that's why we sing this song to glorify the departed Vaishnavas under Tirubha, because today is Vaishnava calendars is a Tirubha Mahotsava Bhugarbha Goswami. Bhugarbha. He was one of the great Goswamis. He would be like the ninth Goswami. There's a sixth Goswami, the seventh one is Lokanath, the eighth Goswami is Krishna's Kaviraj, and ninth one will be Bhugarbha. Although some, and later in those days, but in that period, time period of immediately during Lord Chaitanya and afterwards, then so many hundreds of years later, because of his contribution and his absorption in the mood and mellows of specific, the mood and mellow and teachings of Sanatan Goswami as Sambandha Acharya and Rupa Mandri Labhide Acharya and Raghunath Das Goswami as Prayojana Acharya, Prayojana Tattva Acharya. Then the Samaj, Vaishnav Samaj, they thought that the person that most best represented the synthesis of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, the person at that time period that most uniquely and perfectly represented the teachings and realizations and mercy of Sanatan Rupa and Raghunath Das was our dear Thakur Bhaktivinod. So consequently, in recent history, some well-wishers or disciples or someone said he's a seventh Goswami, which you may have heard time to time. Even in some book, they boldly called the seventh Goswami. But before Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, the seventh Goswami was Krishna's Kaviraj. And if you're not a follower of Gaudiya Math or ISKCON, you don't know about Bhaktivinoda being the seventh Goswami. Even when they have something called 64 Mahants, Chosatta, I think it's called Chosatta? Chosatta Mahants. They have oftentimes in the traditional Gaudiya temples, they have a big feast, maybe on a Tirubhava Rupa or something, and they invite the Chosatta Mahants to come and take the feast. Eight Goswamis, and generally they consider Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami to be the eighth one, and the seventh one is Lokanath. Because why? Because Lalita Sakhi has Ashta Manjaris. What are their names? Let's do the six Goswamis first. Sri Rupa Manjari. Labanga, no. Sri Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami. Labanga Manjari, Snatan Goswami. Then Raghunath Bhatta, Rasa Manjari. Raghunath Das, Rati Manjari, Tulsi Manjari. Then Jiva Goswami, Vilas Manjari. Then Gopabhatta Goswami, Guna Manjari. That's six. Then the seventh Manjari is Loknath Goswami, who is Manjulali. Manjulali Manjari. Manjulali Devidasi. Then the eighth one is Kasturi Manjari, who is Krishna Kavi. So the Ashta Manjaris become the Ashta Goswamis. So we don't find the name of Bhaktivinoda Thakur there as one of Lalita Sakhi's Ashta Manjaris. So this is an in-house mood of appreciation and gratitude for the contribution of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Because certainly his books, Jiva Dharma, Chaitanya Shikshamritam, and Krishna Samhita and others, they, as one could objectively see, they're very nice. The speciality of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books is that he took the very difficult Sanskrit teachings of Rupa and Sanatan and Raghunath and others, and he synthesized and present them in simple Bengali, systematically and simple, and then even made it more simple because we're Kali Yuga and we like the Mahabharata and we like stories. So he put, even you can imagine taking Rupa Goswami's Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and his Ujjwala Nilamani, and Sanatan Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamritam. And then, of course, that is a story. But put the teachings of Rupa and Prayojana Tattva, Mana Shiksha, and Vilavakusa Manjali, and all these books by Raghunath Das, he puts them all together and tells a story. These books are teachings. The Goswami books are not a story except Brihad Bhagavatamrita. They're the philosophy and the tattva with Praman. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes all that Sanskrit, translates it, puts it in simple local Bengali language, and makes a story of it. Well, the Prem Babaji in the Madhavi Kunj, and he met this Goswami and that. And all those teachings and all those questions and all those answers are all from the six Goswami's books. So he made it extremely palatable and tasty. Mahabharata is all the teachings of the Dharma Shastras in a story form. So this is the beautiful contribution expertise of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and we're fortunate because we're taking advantage of it. Because it's simple Bengali, then it becomes easy to translate into English. and gets some close idea of what the Sanskrit teachings of the Goswamis are, maybe not exact in some cases, because it's a little removed, Sanskrit to Bengali, then to English, it's like, well, sometimes what are gada samskaras and some things like that, they become a little confusing. Gada samskaras, and if you don't know the Sanskrit, anyway, that's another point, but language becomes a problem. So what point I'm trying to draw from this song is that when we sing songs like this and we try to understand who is singing this and what is his relationship to what he's singing about. Like I may write a song about Krishna. Somebody will say, well, he never met Krishna. Krishna was 5,000 years ago. But how is he writing? Like Mirabai writes this song, oh, Giridhari, I'm crying for you. She lived 200 years, I don't know, 300 years ago, 400, I guess 500 years ago. But in her spurti or in her murti or in her meditation, her spurti or her murti, in her murti or in her spurti or in her meditation or in her dream or in her heart or in her aspiration, she's relating in a very personal way like a wife in Swakya Bhav towards Dwarkadish Krishna, who she'd like to call Giridhari because she was in Vrindavan. But her Bhav is clearly Mahishi Bhav of Dwarka, and all the Acharyas state that. Swakya, Krishna's my husband. We as sadhakas, we have to intensely develop this mode of mamata bhav, possession. Not for your money. I have a lot of possession for my money and my wife, and my kids and my wife. But what about my Rupa Raghunath? Kamsa. He's there, he's not there. What me worry? What does it affect me? How does it affect me? But it affected Narottam Das Thakur so much. Without their remembrance, without their presence in his life, without their teachings guiding his thoughts and guiding it, without their teachings guiding his desires and guiding his aspirations, and without their blessings and sanction, some kind of heartly connection with them, he felt, I want to die. I want to smash my head against a stone. Burn myself up in fire. Because that's its easier way out. Fire is not as painful as forgetting the Goswamis. Smashing my head is not as painful as forgetting the teachings of Sanatana Rupa and Swarupa Damodara. So these type of songs, they create deep bhakti samskaras of like, wow, I don't have that feeling for anybody except myself. So much attachment, or my immediate family members, but spiritual personalities I've never seen, spiritual personalities I've never met or talked to, I can be so attached to die for them. Mora Prabhupada, my Prabhupada. We meet people like that. I never met Prabhupada. I never saw Prabhupada. I read his books. I'm always crying out to Prabhupada. I'm having dreams about Prabhupada. Because they're feeling some mamata bhav, my Prabhupada. His books helped me. His books are my books. His teachings are my teachings. I can't live without Prabhupada's books. He may not even be a Diksha disciple. Disciple. So these particular personalities that are mentioned here are for every Gaudiya to lament. I lament that I've never read the books by these people. I smash my stupid head because I never even read Raghunath Das Goswami's books or Sanatana Goswami's books or Rupa Goswami's books. What to speak of understand them? What to speak of follow them? Or realize them, or what to speak of having such a heartly attachment to Mahaprabhu. Say that this is an inspiration for us to deepen our relationship, obviously, with the immediate representatives of Lord Gauranga in our midst, the well-wishers and advanced Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. But what to speak about the Vaishnavis? Narottam Das is talking about Vaishnavas from and the Lord and his Parishas from a couple hundred years ago. So what, 100 years, 200 years, 100 years? What's the difference between 100 years separation and 200 years? No, it's the same. 500 years. So we have, we're 500, you know, where's my Rupa Goswami? It's 500 years ago since he was here. So when we read his books, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Ujjala Nilamani, we should say, oh, like Narottam, there's so much attachment to you and so much surrender to you and so much feelings for you, please. And we can pray to Narottam, we read the song, we pray Narottam, please bless me that I have some kind of feelings like this. Because you're one to smash your head in the stone, my heart is a stone. I have a stone-like heart. I don't have any feel. What? Let's be honest. What feelings do we have for Rupa Goswami? Zed. Do you have feelings for your mother? Big time. Your father? Big time. Your brother, sister. Because they're near and dear. And they were important. Your mother was important in your life. She's not now. But you still have feelings for her? Yeah, you'll die for her. You'll die for her. Oh, son, I'm dying. Will you give me your liver, half your liver? Yeah, I'll take it. Isn't it? Oh, son, you have the same blood, what do you call it, as me, whatever you call it. Group. You have the same blood group as me. Can you donate, you know, something? Yes, certainly. I need a skin graft. Yeah, you'll give your skin off your back. What does it speak of this shirt? Because of attachment. Mamata. Mamata bhav means loving attachment, loving possession. It's called Mamta Bhav. But will you give your liver to some rickshaw wall in Calcutta? No. But this song is intense. It's like Arjun's arrow shooting through 10 soldiers at once. Shoots one and gets 10 with 10 for one. He shoots his arrows pulled back so far, it goes, kill. It's like you put a bunch of flowers on a needle. The ladies, they do these long needles, like one flower, two flowers. So his arrows were like needles. If he pulled back his bow halfway, it would go through 10 men. If he pulled back through to his ear, okay, I'm going to give you guys good fun now. Because I did, you know, archery when I was a kid. So you can go like that, and boing, and go like that, and boing. And you go like this, and like this. You know, as far as you get back, and toof! You know, it goes so far, too. And then, it's like piercing, like as easy as your needle goes through 20 flowers and you make a garland for Krishna. Arjuna's arrow went through 20 Maharatis. That's why, what was he famous as? An archer. Kandiva Dhara. Kandiva Dano, Dano Dhara, Dano Dhara, Dano Dhara, Arjuna Ki. So this song is like Arjuna's arrow. It pierces through the ego, pierces through the lethargy and laziness and lassitude and lack of feelings. And it almost scratches the surface of our diamond stone hard heart. With a slight little itching of a bhakti sanskara. Shh, 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 shh. That same arrow that goes through 10, the armor, the breastplate, the armor plates, the chainmail of 100 soldiers of Kurukshetra, that same arrow of this power of this song in the Prima Donna just goes through and goes through our ego mind, just gets to our heart. That's because our heart is so hard. Our diamond heart is so hard that these impressions and feelings don't even get through. Just bounce off. Boing. You know, like you shoot, like a little kid shoots one of those rubber arrows, you know, hits the boing, you know. The rubber tip on it shoots and hits the wall. You know. So we should go deep into this knowledge.